You are tuned in to another edition of Americana Music Profiles, brought to you by Americana Rhythm Music Magazine and AmericanaMusicMagazine.com. I'm your host, Greg Tutwiler. Let's jump right in to the next exciting interview. Our guest for this edition of Americana Music Profiles is Brad Loretti. Brad has been performing and recording under the stage moniker This Frontier Needs Heroes for the last 10 years. His fifth album, Go With the Flow, has just been released, and the single, South Dakota, is a finalist in the Chris Austin Songwriting Contest for Merlefest 2020, which has been moved forward till September 2021. Join Brad and I for this interesting conversation about his music and his career. Hello, Brad. Welcome to the podcast.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. Thanks for taking the time to jump in here with us this afternoon.
Hey, it's my pleasure.
So you are a, see if I got this right, New York native, and I think you told me a few minutes ago you're in Connecticut, but is New York home, or was home?
It was for most of my adult life, but I lived in Jacksonville, Florida for a while, and the last 2 years I was living in Nashville before the pandemic stuff happened.
Sure, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So give me a little bit of background on your musical journey. How did all of this start for you? Was it a childhood thing, late teens? When did it click for you?
You know, I started playing in bands with my friends in high school. Like, you know, I didn't even start playing guitar until I was like 13. And, you know, so we had bands in high school, and then I didn't really start writing seriously until I was in college, like 18 or so.
Okay.
And then I had a few bands, you know, in my 20s, and then eventually, and then I actually was doing a duo for a long time with my sister, and then it kind of whittled down to just me, you know, especially with touring and stuff.
Sure.
It was kind of, you know, a solo artist game. So, you know, I've done all different configurations, and it just, you know, it was kind of how it's evolved. It's just me now.
Has it, what kind of musical influence did you have as a child growing up? Did musical family, or is it,
my dad played piano, but not really, like, not much. It was, we just kind of, you know, growing up in an Italian-American house, he just listened to Frank Sinatra all the time.
Okay.
And my mom was from South Carolina, and so she always loved, like, the Eagles and the Allman Brothers.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, stuff like that from the 70s. And so it was kind of, I would say those were my biggest influences when I was a kid. But then, really, when I started, honestly, it was, I know everybody says this, but when I heard Woody Guthrie is when I really started thinking, wow, I could write a song. And that's when I started, you know, it felt more accessible.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, okay.
And that was kind of my entry point for writing.
The new record, Go With The Flow, the tracks that I've heard has a country-ish, alt-country kind of a rootsy feel. Has that always been a genre for you? Or was it more folk style like Woody Guthrie in the beginning?
I always kind of view it as a continuum, right? Just the way I view, like, you know, Americana-related genre, but I would say it's kind of, this one's definitely the most country-tinged of my record, for sure.
Okay.
I think part of that was working with Johnny Erian and living in Nashville, and just, you know, for the last 2 years, I was just going out to see live music every night. But I think as you go through the record, you kind of, delve into some of the indie folk sort of genre too. You know, I try to make every album be kind of like different. And, you know, so it's not like
right.
10 of the same sort of vibe, you know. And
so the heading, the band name, the title that you have recorded this under, This Frontier Needs Heroes, is that new for this project, or has that been the configuration that you've recorded under for a while?
Yeah, no, that's what I've been going under for the last 10 years or so.
Yeah,
okay. It will be my fifth album under that name. And like I said, it started off as a duo, and it's been different people over the years, personnel. Every album, I had a different group of musicians and like a different studio and different engineers and just different collaborators working on it. But ultimately, I'm kind of, you know, the songwriter, and you know, so that's the thread that weaves throughout
the album. When you get to play out, is it still solo, or do you try to get a band together?
I mean, when I'm doing local gigs, the occasional wedding gig, I'll always put a band together. But I've been on the road the last couple of years. It's just been me.
Okay.
And doing the listening room house concert circuit.
Sure.
You know, doing two full sets, couple hours of just storytelling and telling jokes. And so I got a pretty good one-man show going.
Yeah, okay. The I love the title, This Frontier Needs Heroes. Where did that come from for you originally?
That was originally inspired by what Woody Guthrie used to write on his guitar, which was "This machine kills fascists."
Okay. Right, yeah, I remember that.
Or like what Pete Seeger wrote on his banjo, "This machine surrounds hate and turns it into love." And so it was kind of like a more current take on that kind of idea.
Uh-huh.
That, you know, the guitar was a force for good
right.
in the world.
It almost feels like or sounds like a mission statement of sorts.
Absolutely. And I'm inviting everybody to join along. You know, grab a guitar and let's, change the world.
Yeah, yeah, that's awesome. Tell me a little bit about your songwriting process. How does that unfold for you? What do you have a method? Is it more organic? What does that look like?
Well, for the most part, I kind of like, you know, I'm out there living my life in the world, which, you know, the last few years has been pretty crazy, traveling all over Europe and North America, and I kind of like usually come up with ideas, like just will come to me. But usually what I do is I end up sitting down at some point when I'm not doing anything else and kind of just write out all the songs. You know, I just sit there.
Okay.
In a big spurt.
Huh.
And the last couple of years, I started this project called Dexton Kennedy Songwriter Residency in Fruit Cove, Florida. Set up by St. Augustine in Jacksonville.
Okay.
And Stetson Kennedy was like a local hero. He was a journalist and an activist, and he was actually friends with Woody Guthrie.
Oh, cool.
And Woody used to come to the house, and he wrote over 88 songs there.
Wow, and so, okay.
Yeah, so 4 years ago, I partnered with them, and I did a songwriter residency where I just stayed there for 2 weeks. And I basically wrote a whole album worth of songs while I was there.
Huh, that's neat.
And that was my last album, Real Job. And then, you know, I actually went back under and wrote a whole other album, too, which is going to be my next album.
Oh, so it's already in the can. That's cool.
Yeah, well, I know a lot of people have had some downtime this year.
Sure, right.
And I just was lucky enough to be able to be productive with it. Yeah. But like having that space, that mental space away from my normal life, you're just sitting there for 2 weeks and no distractions, that has been a huge catalyst for me as far as writing.
Yeah.
And actually, one of the new songs on this record, South Dakota, is a finalist in the Chris Austin Songwriting Contest at Merlefest.
Right. This year. Yeah. Okay.
So, yeah, looks like it's working.
Yeah. Right. That's awesome. You mentioned getting a chance to spend a lot of time playing and touring in Europe. Did you? Is there a particular area there that you felt more fond of than another? Is the music received differently in different places as you travel there?
Yes and no. I mean, I think every country is different. Like, you know, you have Scandinavia, and Germany, and I've toured in Spain and Portugal and Italy and Switzerland and all over. But I think typically for what I'm doing, it's basically there's like these promoters who are kind of organizing their scene in their town for, you know, Americana songwriter, you know, artists like me. And so they already kind of have their little cultivated crowd of people. And so every, you know, for the most part, I'm whether I'm in Italy or I'm in Sweden, I'm getting an audience of people who want to listen, who love songwriting. And so I'm really lucky in that regard. You know, it's just an amazing experience. You know,
do you find that any of those folks have know you when you get there, or is it more of you're a new artist to them?
Some of them do, but it is kind of like the promoters are kind of like the tastemakers.
Okay.
Like they're going out there discovering the new kind of like lesser known artists, and the audience comes to them and trusts their kind of judgment. You know, they're not going to be the people. But I've been going back for years now, so I am getting, you know, repeat customers.
Yeah.
And people that I see every time, you know, that I come through. So that's also
Do you have a particular style of venue that you prefer when you get out to play?
I mean, at the end of it, I really love house concerts.
Yeah,
because,
cool.
You know, because especially when you're on tour for a long time and you're driving around all over the place, and then you have to find some place to eat, but when, you know, you go and you play a house concert in Italy and the food's already on the table and you're looking out the balcony and your bed's right there and...
Yeah, right. Yeah.
You know, they take good care of you.
Yeah, yeah, that's awesome. Were you able to have this be a full-time lifestyle for you prior to COVID, and then did that interrupt that?
Well, over the years, you know, every once in a while I would have to, like, you know, stop and get a job and stuff, but the last 3 years I haven't had a job outside of music in the last 3 years.
Okay.
But needless to say, I'm probably looking for a job now.
Yeah, like unfortunately, a big majority of the music industry, it's frustrating, I'm sure.
It is. You know, I mean, we're in the same boat that a lot of people are.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
What can you do?
Yeah.
I mean, I wish there was, you know, there's a lot of, I know, organizations like Neva and that are trying to get the word out to people to try to communicate, like, the dire, you know, situation that the live music industry really is in. And we're at a point that if we don't intervene and help them, I mean, every week there's some venue that I play that I'm seeing is going out of business.
Wow. Yeah.
That's... And that could be discouraging.
Yeah, For sure.
Because I know if even if I personally, you know, survive this, I know a lot of my partners in the industry are not going to survive that. And so what, when things get back to normal, what is that going to look like?
Right. Yeah, and what is normal going to be anymore? I understand, and it's disheartening to watch the venues finally have to let go and just call it because they can't maintain anymore. And whenever artists can get back out on the road, then it was already hard enough to find places to play, just anyway. And so yeah, it's going to be a real readjustment. I would like to think it's going to be explosion or a reemergence of the music industry. I hope we can save it in time that it just blows back in a big kind of way, but we'll see.
You know, I want to be optimistic, but I think if we don't do something at a national level, it's going to take years for things to come back.
Right, I agree. Yeah.
And people who, you know, who are doing the good work, who are the ones who are organizing the shows, who are paying the rent on these venues every month.
Sure.
They were struggling in good times.
Right, I know.
A lot of people do that, but, you know.
Well, it certainly brings a whole different meaning to your title. This frontier needs new heroes. We're going to need some of those, just to save the music industry, I'm afraid.
Well, I think it's one difference between Europe and the States is that in Europe, a lot of these places that are playing are like cultural institutions,
right,
nonprofits, social clubs, places that weren't really operating on a fully like free market basis. You know, they had institutional support.
Right, yeah.
And in America, you know, you have people who are trying to run a small business in the worst possible scenario.
Yeah.
And we're basically just saying, oh, well, if you can't succeed, you're on your own.
Yeah, I know.
Which I think community support is going to be like really important.
Sure. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
We have to ask ourselves, what kind of world do we want to live in post-pandemic, and then we have to pay for it.
Right. Yeah. I
just put the burden on a small business owner and just say, oh, good luck. Sorry, you couldn't hack it.
Yeah. No, I think you make a really good point, and I would like to see or hope or soon see that some sort of strategies in place for, because I mean we'll get to the end of this at some point in some way, and when the gate gets open, if we all are standing there just kind of staring at each other going, okay, let's go do this, and we don't know what we're gonna do, you know, it's like it's almost we need a game plan of some kind in place so that we can get back to work.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, right now my game plan is promote this new album and see what happens because there's just no way to play it.
Right. Because you don't have a date, right? Yeah.
We don't know when things are going to go back to normal. Every state is different.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, there's so many variables. I'm kind of just like, at a certain point, I just bit the bullet and said, you know what, I'm just going to release this album, and then, because we just don't, and then, you know.
Yeah, sure.
On.
Yeah, well, it's certainly a forward-thinking perspective move to do everything you can that you can think of to be ready. You've got new music out there. You've got another one that you're kind of ready to go. So when you can get back out there, then you've got something to move into and start playing into, instead of waiting for permission to go create. You know, you're creating on one end so that you can go deliver on the other. So that's certainly what I find a lot of musicians are doing, which is great. At least the material is there, so that there's some. I just think when the fog gets lifted, there's going to be so much really awesome music being offered again to the public, that it's when we can get there, it's going to be a very exciting time to just hear all this new music that has come out of this, out of the darkness almost, you know. So I'm glad that folks like yourself have continued the process, and we certainly are praying and sending good thoughts and energy out there into the world that we can all listen and create and enjoy together very soon, that's for sure.
I mean, that's the, you know, the worst part about all this is not having those get-togethers where everybody's sitting in the room sharing that experience of live music.
Right.
And, you know, so
well,
I know we're trying to do it with live streaming and
right.
all sorts of
things. Yeah.
But me, it's... You can't replace that thing.
No, the energy coming from the stage, and I'm sure the energy coming from the audience back to the stage is something you can't bottle that and put it on a two-dimensional screen. You know, I'm glad we at least have the mechanism to do what's out there now in the live streaming process, but that doesn't replace the live audience artist interaction for sure.
Yeah, I did a live stream last week where I actually, you know, partnered with it was like an art district, kind of like a stage with sound, and there was no audience there, but just going to the stage, getting on the stage, I had a sound person doing it, I'm like, okay, cool, this feels like normal.
Yeah, that's cool.
Instead of me just trying to do it in some interesting location.
Yeah, right.
Or from my house.
Right.
My couch.
Well, the new record is Go With The Flow. Is it officially out, or are you still releasing singles?
Yeah, I'm going to be releasing singles for the rest of this year, and the full album will come out January 20th.
Okay.
But the deal is, I kind of evolved to this. If you buy the album, you get it now.
Ah, cool. Okay.
If you don't buy it and you're going to stream it, you got to wait for the singles and then...
Yeah, okay. That's a good...
As a way to, you know, incentivize people to buy the album.
Sure.
And it's kind of a strategy. The whole streaming thing is, like, revolves around releasing singles.
Right. Yeah.
But that's the way it works. So I'm kind of doing, like, a hybrid model.
Okay.
You know, I have... Kickstarter people who funded the album, and they're getting it first. And then if you pre-order it, then you get it.
Okay.
And you gotta wait.
And yeah. if the listeners want to purchase the record, they want to hear a couple of songs, reach out to you. What's the best way to do that?
You can do go to my website, thefrontiernewheroes.org, or to my Bandcamp page. Right now.
Under the same name or under your name? The band.
Yeah,
camp.
Under this Heroes. Yeah.
Okay. Awesome.
So the first single is already out. You can listen to Go With The Flow on Spotify or Apple Music or wherever. And then the next single, South Dakota, is going to come out October 30th.
Okay. So. Cool. Good. Well, thank you, Brad. I appreciate it. Definitely wish you the best, as with all musicians, and wish you the best with the record and the single releases, and hopefully we'll find a way to sit in an audience with your music here sometime soon.
Sounds good, man. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thanks again for tuning in to this episode of Americana Music Profiles. Find us on iTunes at Americana Music Profiles and on the internet at AmericanaRhythm.com.
Hey, this is Liberty DeVito.
This is Mike Del Judas.
This is Michael Cavanaugh from Broadway's Moving Out.
This is John Jackson, director of the Billy Joel Archive.
This is Russell Javers.
This is Richie Cannata, and you're listening to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast. It's awesome.
I'm Michael Grosvenor.
And I'm Jack Frenino.
We're lifelong Billy Joel fans who launched a podcast in 2020 celebrating the music we love.
Whether you're looking for the greatest hits or the B-sides and rarities, you'll find it all here. And if you've ever wondered what happens behind the scenes of a concert or recording session, we've got you covered.
Join us as we explore albums, tours, band members, the latest news, and more. You'll also get a unique glimpse into the music industry straight from the musicians and other professionals who help make it all happen.
Tune into Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, at glasshousespod.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcasts Network.